Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.
Hello and welcome to the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and myself, Ben Emmett. As ever, our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie and the text and WhatsApp number is 087 179 1032. Standard text rates apply. That's 087 179 1032. Lots to get through as usual. And of course, we're available live on the live stream on dublincityfm.ie and also as a podcast. And we're going to start, as usual, with what to see in the sky over the coming week, assuming it's clear. It is clear tonight here in Dublin, John.
It is clear at the moment, yep. And it's a good, although my app, my Sky Watchery type app, did say that it would be fair tonight, but I think that we're clear tonight with for the most of it anyway. And good evening to you.
And good evening to you. Maybe you can verify when you get a chance the name of your app.
Yeah, I'll do that now.
I have one too.
A couple are available. It's well, I'll just have a quick look here for you.
And of course, if you go on the internet, you can get star maps to find out where, which we'll talk about in a moment, actually, the comet and where to find it. I'll tell you the name of my one now. Oh, it's called MO Free. I'm not sure what MO stands for. And there's a paid version as well.
There you go. And same with mine.
Mobile Observatory.
Yeah, mine's Free. Sky View Light. And it also has a paid version if you want to go a little bit deeper into it. I find that, to be quite honest, the free version is enough. But that if you want to go for apping, there are two for you. And let's have a quick wander around the sky. I'm going to start with Mars, because if you look up this evening, you're going to get a good view of Mars and the Moon very close together. So if you know where the Moon is, just look to the right and you'll see Mars. If you've never seen Mars before, and go way, way over to keep going towards the west skies, mm-hmm. you'll see Jupiter in our skies at the moment at minus 2.2. It's actually in Pisces and shines quite high, although it is dimming. It's dipping as the weeks go on. And it sets at around 9 to 10 p.m., so depending on wherever you are. And telescopically, Jupiter has shrunk to 36 arc seconds wide, if you're interested in that type of thing. Saturn, plus 0.8, it's sinking farther away below Venus in twilight. Now, I think you got a chance to see Venus this morning, didn't you?
This evening. Mercury is a morning object at the moment.
Yeah.
But Venus is, oh yeah, the first thing he sees as the sky begins to get dark at sunset. I think it was about 5:45 or so.
It's pretty
just
bright.
Just had a peek out to the southwest and can't miss it.
Yep, it's pretty bright at minus 3.9 on the star scale. And the more the minus, the brighter it is. So it's shining low in the west, southwest in evening twilight. So if you are in a treeless horizon, you'll get a good chance to see that as well. Mercury, as you said, it starts about 50 minutes before your local sunrise, so look for it low in the southeast at the moment, minus 0.2 all week, so it's quite bright for Mercury. So you get a chance to see that.
It's hard to catch, though, yeah. Because it's...
It is hard to catch, definitely.
Nearer the horizon.
You have to be on a mission, I think, to catch that one. Uranus and Neptune, 5.7 and 7.9 respectively. You're still going to need a good telescope or a very, very good pair of binoculars to see that as well. So you've got to go hunting for those, unfortunately, at the moment. So that's what's happening in the sky. Our International Space Station, a few minutes ago, it would have passed over at 7:54. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow at 6:16 p.m. I'm correct on that?
Well, that's Thursday.
Thursday, 6:16.
There is a pass tomorrow, but it's not... It's not very good, not very high. It's even shorter than, not as good as the one on Thursday, which you mentioned there at 6:16. And then I think after Thursday, Friday, it certainly will disappear from evening skies for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's
Hoping to be back in morning skies, but generally speaking, we don't We don't give the, morning times passes.
I haven't seen it in our evening skies all the time it's been here since January the 17th. And it's going to disappear out, as you say, on February the 3rd. And its altitude is low on Thursday, 24 degrees, so not really worth seeing, but if you do. And the Great Red Spot appeared at just before 6 o'clock this evening. So I don't know whether you get to see that. That might have passed over now at this stage. And it's worth watching if you have a telescope to see the Great Red Spot on Jupiter.
Well, if the rotation of the Jupiter is around about 10 hours.
It's a 9:30,
in theory, you should be able to see it for a five-hour period. But, of course, when it's at the either side, west or east, it would be quite hard to spot, I'd say, in, if you'll pardon the pun, in a telescope, unless you've got a pretty good telescope. But you should be able to see it for once it's transiting the face of Jupiter that faces us. You should get a few hours.
Great to see all the moons at different angles and positions.
I had a look at it the other day. Oh, yes. I think it was last Friday when it was pretty clear when I was out comet hunting, which we'll get to in a moment. But I had a peek at Jupiter and drew my 15 by 70s. And you could see three or four of the moons lining up there. Yeah, nice, pretty sight. And you know it's a planet because it's a disc, you see, even in binoculars. And you can see the little pinpoints of light of the moons all in a line.
Yeah, that's the nice way. I like to see it like that. But they do. They disappear, they swirl, they up, down, whatever it is. But
they transit and they of course, they go around the far side. You know, you wouldn't always see the four moons.
Of the 79 or so.
Yes.
Remarkable.
Jupiter is one of the moonier of the
moonier of the
in the solar system.
Yeah, it's good.
Speaking of the comet, John.
Yeah.
Maybe they have a position. As I was saying, Friday I was out trying to spot it, but I was in a suburbia in West Dublin at the time, and although I had my 15 by 70s, the light pollution and such was that I couldn't find it. Now, I knew it was between Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, towards the North Star, Polaris, and moving rapidly over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
actually, a couple of weeks, it'll start, a couple of days or a week or two, it'll start to fade. So now is a good time. We'll have a look. Yeah,
tomorrow
later,
is actually the closest it will be to Earth. So that's good. I'll go through it in just a second. This particular comet, C2022E3, was only discovered last year, and it hasn't been so close to Earth for, 50,000 years since the Ice Age and prior to the extinction of the Neanderthals. So we're never, ever going to see this one again, so if you do get a chance, do it. At the moment, it is in, let me just see if I can give you a pointer, directly above Polaris, probably about a fist's width, I would imagine, and the tail is pointing from the 7 to the 1 o'clock mark. That's a good point there. So as it's quite a quick one actually, and as the days go on the 10th, it'll be right beside Mars. So it's creeping up from the North Star Polaris, and it'll be beside Mars. So it's quite high in the sky.
Yeah, and it's heading towards Aldebaran. And another good pointer actually is on Sunday the 5th, it'll be near Capella. Which is, I think it's the third brightest star that we see in the Northern Hemisphere. But the bad news about that is we're coming up to the full moon, which might wash it out. I think it's magnitude plus 5 at the moment. I was talking to somebody last night, and they said they took taking a photograph of it. Quite dim, but so they had to use a long exposure. But because it's moving so fast, it was actually a little bit blurred, which is kind of amazing. Now, it'll take a few days and a week or two to cross the sky, but so you can go and have a look. Try and track it down now, because if not, you'll have to wait 50,000 years for it to come back again.
You never know. We might come back as something else.
There'll be a few more discovered over the years.
And
hopefully, they'll be bright enough to see with the naked eye.
Yeah.
I heard somebody said they weren't sure whether they saw it with the naked eye or kind of convince themselves. But they did see it even in low-powered binoculars, like 8x30. You will, if you know where to look, you will see it, and you will see the tail, the dust tail, and the iron tail. Yeah, should be able to tell them
about. Looking at the Milky Way, it's actually from 6 o'clock to 12 o'clock just as we speak, so it's quite bright in there. So as we get into the 6th, 7th, 8th. It's going to dim a little bit as well. The moon will be above it, which will be quite bright. So you need to get a chance to see it around a bit now, which is sneaking into the 1st of February. So, yep, it's going to be a good one. If you can see it, I'm going to put it on my mission. I might go this evening to see it.
We'll have a look this evening, and it was clear as we were coming into the studio. So yeah. We'll have a look at that. And as you mentioned, tonight Mars is 6.5 degrees to the upper right of the moon. Also coming up later in the week, Thursday the 2nd of February is, of course, Groundhog Day.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're thinking.
Yep.
Every day is Groundhog Day. But the Thursday the 2nd is Groundhog Day. Well, from an astronomical point of view, that doesn't mean much, of course. But, of course, it's the day when Puxatawny Phil, if he sees a shadow... I always get this the wrong way around.
Yeah, another 30 days of something rather.
6 weeks of, if he sees the shadow, there'll be another 6 weeks of winter. Because the sun is up, but it's clear, so it's frosty. Yeah. I think it's kind of counterintuitive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he sees the shadow, there'll be 6 more weeks of winter. It's all a load of nonsense, of course.
He's a great nice little fella. Yeah, he's a nice little fella. Yep. So there we go. This is one thing that appears up everywhere I go now on the screens. It keeps appearing, and it's a book that's called Everything You Need to Know About the Solar System. And it looks quite a nice book. I haven't seen inside it. It's around about $16.99. That includes delivery. So if you want to get something that might help you to learn your way around the solar system, with all the bits and pieces, the inner planets, the making of the moon, and describing other things like that, might be worth a watch. And I'm just, I might invest one of these days. Just keeps appearing on my screen, so I printed this off today just as a reminder. So we'll have a look to see what that's like. So there's a little book for you.
And thanks to Alan for his text. He spotted, it appears, the ISS passing this evening just before 8 o'clock.
Good.
As it just went below Jupiter, and I think that is correct, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, because... Actually, if you go on this very good website, heavensabove.com, plug in your location, and then we'll give you the times of the International Space Station, amongst other things, going over your area, your part of the world, and also when you click on the date, it'll give you a little map of the sky, and you'll see the track, and it'll show you the times that it comes in, and you'll see, you know, where it'll go above or below Venus or Jupiter or what time it'll cross into Orion, if it's there, for example.
Yeah, true. And the last week, as most would remember, if you've been tuning our way, would have heard us having a little chinwag with Kevin Nolan. And he's a wizard on Mars and all space stuff as well. So you went to see him, it was last night in UCD.
Yesterday, giving the talk that we spoke to him about here last week on from web to, or from mobile to web, and they complement each other. And yes, as he did say last week, there would be some fabulous photos, and there was indeed, and the resolution.
Mm-hmm.
I see massive, fabulous pictures of, for example, the Pillars of Creation taken by Webb, and you could even zoom in and zoom in and zoom in. Pretty amazing. And of course, Kevin's a great speaker and gave a pretty amazing talk. And as you know, he's very passionate about the subject.
He certainly is.
And great presenter. And he knows the stuff.
Good bit of fun. No doubt you said hello to him at the end.
I did.
You did. That's good.
Yeah. I did. So we get to speaking of the moon, actually.
Yeah.
It is up at the moment from our vantage point here in Dublin. At the moment, we have an 80% waxing gibbous moon, and it will be due south at 8:48 p.m. from our vantage point here in Dublin, which is about 20 are 35 minutes away or 40 minutes from now. It will set just before 6 a.m. tomorrow before it rises again at 12:30 in the afternoon, at which stage it'll be an 85% waxing gibbous moon. But the sun rises tomorrow in Dublin at 8:10, which is 10 minutes earlier than a week ago, and local noon in Dublin, that is when the sun crosses, when it's at its highest in the sky, in other words, due south, is at 12:38 p.m, which is 1 minute later than a week ago. And then we'll have sunset at 5:05, which is 11 minutes later than a week ago. And from then we'll have a civil twilight until 5:45. And from then we'll have nautical twilight until just before 7:30. And from that time until almost 6:30, I should say. And then from that 6:30 until about 7:10, we'll have astronomical twilight. And from then on, we shall be into astronomical night. That's when night officially begins. All in all, that means we will have 21 minutes more daylight than a week ago. Tomorrow there'll be another 3.5 minutes more.
And it is night
between sunrise and sunset, when we'll have about 8 hours and 58 minutes, just short of 9 hours between sunrise and sunset tomorrow. So I think we can officially claim a grand stretch of the evening.
Yes, there you go. We were looking forward to this, and it's happening, which is great. Now, they're coming to get us, asteroids, that is, and they're all over the place up there. One was only discovered last week on January the 21st, and this was discovered by an astronomer called Gennady Borisov in the Margo Observatory in Crimea. It's 3.8 meters by 8.5 meters wide, and it traveled pretty close to Earth on the 26th of January, which was only a few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, at 21:17, which is 21 minutes past 9 GMT on the 26th. And the space rock, in our language, was less than 3% of the average Earth-Moon distance at the altitude of just 3,500 kilometers above the Earth's surface. Now, that's pretty close for an asteroid. Saying that, it's not really big enough to have caused any immediate danger to anyone around here, because it would have probably burnt, or most of it would have burnt up in the atmosphere. It's up in the Ursa Major constellation as the plough at the moment, and say just to its small size, it's fairly dim. And it's going away, but they move very, very quickly across the sky. And it's moving away quite quickly, but it would have got a jolt or a pull from the Earth's magnetic pull, and it would be twisted off in a different direction. So no doubt the person who found this will just keep an eye on it to make sure it doesn't come back wherever it's going.
Thank you, John. You're listening to The Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM with John Dixon and Ben Emmett. Our email address is astronomy@dublincityfm.ie, and the text number is, and the WhatsApp number is 087-179-1032. And we're also available on the web, live at Dublin City FM, and as a podcast. Alan has written back in, but I don't not quite catch his message about a bizarre whirlpool appears today in Hawaii night sky? Question mark.
Yep.
But sure. does that mean anything to you?
Nope, not the moment. We can Google it. That's what we're doing.
Thank goodness for Google.
On the internet, yeah.
Just we got a little bit about the International Space Station. And the next crew coming up includes an astronaut from the United Arab Emirates, and his name is Sultan Al-Nayedi, and he said last week that he will not be required to fast during Ramadan while he's on his upcoming space mission. If he's a 41-year-old and he's the first Arab astronaut to spend 6 months, or will be the first Arab astronaut to spend 6 months in space when he goes up there next month on a SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket, he'll be joined by NASA's Stephen Bowen and Warren Hoberg, and Russia's Andrei Fedyeev, and are scheduled to fly to the ISS on February 26th as members of SpaceX Dragon Crew 6. Now, he was asked this at a press conference about the month of Ramadan, and where, of course, as you know, Muslims typically fast from dawn to sunset. He said that he fell under the exception rule. He's the definition of a traveller, he said, and we can actually break fast. And the fasting is not compulsory if you're, he says, not feeling well. So in that regard, anything that can jeopardize the mission, the safety, and put the rest of the crew at risk, and for that reason, he won't be observing it from that point of view. So he said, from that point of view, we're actually allowed to eat sufficient food. Now, I did mention he's going to be the first to spend the first Arab astronaut to spend 6 months in space, but he will be the second national from the United Arab Emirates to voyage into space, because back in September 2019, Hazar Al-Mazuri spent 8 days on the International Space Station. And at that press conference, John, they were also asked about, you know, this, are the Russians and the Americans getting on in space considering the situation in Ukraine and that. But the Russian cosmonaut, he said he had a very good, his reply was, he said, once you get to space, it's just one crew, one vehicle. You have the same goal, and that Russia and the United States have a very long history of cooperating in space. And he says, the life of people in space on the International Space Station is really setting a good example for how people should be living on Earth.
Yep, so there you go. Seem to be gathering a few more listeners without really realising it at the moment, as the weeks go on. So we don't often hear an awful lot through the text line, but you mentioned earlier on that when you were at that meeting last night with Kevin Nolan, that you overheard somebody saying that they stumbled across the astronomy show. Of course, Mr. Ben butts in, yes, that's me.
Well, it wasn't quite like that, but anyway, yeah.
Yeah, so we're gathering them. So by all means, just get yourself on the list. Take the number down. And it's 087-179-1032. So there we go.
Yes.
Love to hear from somebody from Australia, because we haven't heard from down that neck of the woods for a long while, or even New Zealand.
Time.
Yeah, I know it's sort of 10, 11 hours ahead of us, but it'd be nice to hear. So just a twist of text if you're listening.
That would be nice. Mm-hmm. Or drop us an email.
Yep.
astronomy@dublincityfm.ie. Alan came back just to explain a little bit more, or clarify for my mind, what his previous text was. He says, a blue spiral, that's a galaxy sighted by a Japanese telescope on Hawaii Observatory recently on the 18th of January, but it's only making the news now. I haven't heard about that one.
No.
A blue spiral galaxy.
There you go. We're going to have the blue spiral.
It must be heading towards us.
Mm-hmm.
It's not redshift, it's blue shift.
Yep, there we go.
Coming this way. But yeah, we'll have a look into that and see what we can garner.
What I find remarkable, remember the Orion spacecraft, the Artemis 1 mission, where they sent the spaceship around the moon and back again. And then the splash landed in the Pacific Ocean on December the 11th. They collected it, took it off, let it settle for a number of weeks. They've only been taking bits and pieces out of the capsule itself. And the most recent one were the mannequins, which were only just recently unpacked in the last week or so. And these were the guys with all the sensors and everything. It was about 18,000 sensors, seemingly, on each of those, just to, I suppose, simulate what it might be like for humans to go back into space.
I think they were measuring, things like radiation.
So yes.
Which radiation they were exposed to, which is going to be very important for, especially when a long trip to Mars, and especially as you get outside that protective environment or the envelope of the Earth's magnetic field, which protects us a great deal from the cosmic rays and also from the radiation from the sun.
Which are not really recommended. No, not for humans anyway.
Which even if you go up on a normal aircraft at 35,000 feet, you get a higher dose of radiation than you would staying on the ground.
Yeah, so they say. I have a friend who's a pilot, and he has mentioned that a number of times. So he's been exposed on the cross-Atlantic flights and things like that to an awful lot more radiation than we have. mainly because we don't travel as much as he does. So, Tim Peake, I went to see last September here in Dublin, and seemingly he has hung up his spacesuit, stepping down from Europe's astronaut corps to become an ambassador for space activities. And that was only on last Friday, around the 20th of January. He was the first British astronaut to visit the ISS in 2015, and he said that it was an incredibly exciting and rewarding 13 years. So there you go. So he's going to, I suppose, teach people all about life in space, because he's been there, and the do's and don'ts, and the experiences that he sort of explained to us on that evening in the Bord Gáis Theatre back in September. So good luck to him as well on that. That would have been fun. Mm-hmm. Now, the James Webb Telescope has discovered the coldest interstellar ice ever seen. Not too much in this just at the moment, but minus 263 degrees Celsius is what it has done, and it's way, way, way out. And it's one of these things that the Webb Telescope is designed to do. So that's nearly at absolute zero. It's within probably nine or ten degrees of absolute zero. So where it is in the actual area of space, I just am not sure at the moment. So no doubt they'll let us know what ways to point our telescope.
As Kevin Nolan was explaining last night, the whole instrument has cooled down to, I think it's about 7 degrees above absolute zero, which is minus 266 or so degrees centigrade. So we can see anything warmer than that. That's the whole idea of cooling it down, where it has those huge heat shields on the, on the underside that faces the sun and the earth. Because it has to be ultra, ultra cold.
Yeah, seemingly there was a newfound planet, Earth-sized planet, discovered. It's been spotted orbiting a nearby star at a distance that would make it not hot, not too hot, not too cold, comfortable enough for life to exist. What it's made out of, we just don't know as well. It's called Gliese, G-L-I-E-S-E 581G. Oh. And this would be the first Earth-like world found residing in the star's habitable zone, a region where a planet's temperature could sustain liquid water on its surface. Now, whether it's the same as our water, we don't know. And just before we go, Ben, Perseverance and Mars has completed its sample depot. So it's been going around the surface, picking up things, drilling cores, bringing them back to the same point. It's like when you throw a stick for a dog, it just brings it back to the same point for the new mission that's going out to collect
a few years.
Yeah, I saw
that. And they want to make sure to pinpoint exactly where they are going, encased over the coming years before the spacecraft comes to collect them. In case they're covered in dust, that they'll know exactly where to find them.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
That's all we have this evening. Thank you, John, for that. As I said, our email address, we'd love to hear from you wherever you are in the universe. It's astronomy@dublincityofm.ie. Excuse me. And thanks to John for his news items. And thanks, too, to the people who put the show up as a podcast, including James Sweeney and Conor Lennon. But that's all from me, Ben Ebbett, from this edition of the Astronomy Show here on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Up next, it's Hello China. 9 o'clock, it's Bren Leinert with Threads. 11 o'clock, Nigel Wood with Ear to the Globe. And from midnight to 2 a.m., we have After Hours with Dave Barry's mix of jazz, blues, and soul. But please join myself and John at the same time next week. We will be here. We'll be back with all the latest news from around the universe. Until then, take care of each other. Thank you for listening, and say goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Goodnight, John.
Broadcasting on 103.2, this is Dublin City FM.